Once again, our guest is John P. David, author of the brand new book, How to Protect or Destroy Your Reputation Online, The Essential Guide to Avoid Digital Damage, Lock Down Your Brand, and Defend Your Business. And John, I'm interested to know if you've found out anything about the psychology of us, many of us, being so free with a lot of the things that we say online via social media, et cetera. What have you found in that regard?
That's a really interesting question. I think that a lot of people have, you hear people say, this guy, he has no filter. You know, I think that we have to learn to filter ourselves a little bit more. You know, sometimes people are a little bit too open about what's happening, you know, in their lives, and it doesn't necessarily, you know, the rest of the world doesn't necessarily need to be aware of all those things. I think that. You have one of the things is that people also online, you know, they can hide behind this, you know, veil of anonymity, and you're never really 100% anonymous. You know, I mean, you can always be tracked down, I guess. But the reality is that the technology that's being used by, you know, whatever the FBI to track down terrorists and stuff, you know, that's not being used on the typical person. So you can go out there and kind of say whatever you want. You go on a message board and you say something. You go on a social media site and you say something negative. And you sort of are hiding behind this veil of anonymity. And it's not necessarily a good thing, right, for our culture and for our country that we're out bashing each other. And I think everybody needs to just kind of stop and think for just a couple of moments before they go on that big online rant, because sometimes that stuff will stay up for a long time and end up hurting you in some way you've never even imagined. You know, so I think we've got to that's one big tip that I like to give out to people.
Well, let's talk about people who are off the grid, so to speak, people who aren't actually utilizing social media or other online components, and they believe that their online reputations can't be hurt because they're off the grid again. And we're talking about companies which intentionally don't have websites and individuals who proudly say that they aren't on Facebook or Twitter. What do these companies and individuals have to be concerned about?
Well, that's a really good question, and I always say, you don't get to be off the grid. It's a big mistake, and it's kind of counterintuitive, you know, because you talk to people, and I talk to people all the time, and they say, well, you know, I'm not on Facebook, I'm not on, you know, I don't use social media, I certainly don't go on Twitter, and the thought process is, listen, if I'm not on Twitter, then I can't say something foolish on Twitter, right? I can't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning like Donald Trump and say something on Twitter if I'm not on Twitter. But the problem with that is that you end up with that your online reputation is now being controlled by everybody else if you're not in control of it. So just imagine, you know, the front door to the internet is Google, and you know there's 10 search results on the first page of Google if you type in your name or my name or anybody's name. And the reality is if you're not on the first page of Google with your own information, then what somebody else has to say about you is there. And the worst case scenario is if something bad happens to you, then that might be the only thing that's posted on, you know, the first page of search results. So I always advocate that even if you're not a firm believer in, you know, social media sites, even if you want to sort of, you know, have a low profile, you still should have some profile online, because you want, when people go online, that you want them to be able to find you first and foremost. And the second thing is you want to build up a little bit of what I call a reputational firewall, and I explain how people can do this in my book and how businesses can do it in my book. And you want to have some type of online reputation, because you need to protect yourself if something, you know, goes astray. And it doesn't have to be yourself. In other words, you don't have to be the one who makes the mistake. There are people, there's examples in my books of people who are victims, you know, who have a really bad online reputation problem, and it's due to nothing that they did themselves. In other words, they're just victims. So you have to have some level of online reputation. Otherwise, you're really vulnerable if something kind of goes astray.
Because I think one of the examples that you give in the book, there was a company that really didn't have much or any online presence, and so they ran into a situation where they needed some assistance, and the first thing that the consultants did was to go online to social media to try to correct the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that happens, and one part of the online reputation industry are companies that offer service that they call suppression, and what that is that you may hear about this, where you bury or push down negative results. So the example that I've given in my book, so there's, you know, guys who are like high profile guys who get into trouble, and one of the things that they say to me before when they call me up to talk about this and figure out how we can fix it is they say, well, you know, I avoided all this stuff. I tried to avoid, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn and all these social media sites, and then they get into trouble and they contact someone to help them out, and the first bit of advice they get is, listen, you need to have a Twitter page, you need to have a Facebook page, you need to have a blog site, because if you set up these personal accounts on these high authority social media sites, then they provide strong results for you and high authority results on the first few pages of Google for your search results. So that's a whole, it's absolutely part of the strategy, and it is kind of counterintuitive, because again, like I said, you talk to folks and they say, listen, if I'm not on Twitter, I can't say something silly and get myself in trouble. But the reality is, you should have an account, even if you don't like it very much, and even if you don't tweet very much, you should still have these social media accounts.
Once again, our guest is John P. David, and more about online reputation. You note that the best way to do so is to have a solid offline reputation. Explain that.
Well, the first rule when it comes to your online reputation is, like you said, is you have a good offline reputation. It's sort of trite as it sounds, it's the best thing to do is to make sure you kind of follow all the rules you learned in kindergarten. You know, I mean, you want to treat other people well so that they treat you well. And it sounds simple, but, you know, we still regularly see these situations where people get in trouble. But I mean, I think if you start off with, you know, I'm gonna think before I post. You know, I'm not gonna say anything. And this goes for companies too. You know, when you think about it, sometimes employees at businesses get in trouble with their employers because of things they say on social media. And you know, the simple rule of thumb is you know, would you say, if you don't say something online that you would, you know, that you'd be afraid to say standing in the company break room. You know, if you're standing in the company cafeteria, you wouldn't, you know, insult another person, you know, one of your coworkers, you know, in front of the world. So don't go and do that online. So if you apply some of the simple rules that we have, that we've hopefully learned from the time we were, you know, little kids, that to your online life, you know, you might help yourself out in the long term. And there's other things too. I mean, we just have to, one big thing is we have to resist this urge to digitally document everything that happens to us. You know, everything that we do in life doesn't deserve to be a tweet. It doesn't deserve to be on Facebook. And we certainly have to look at our fellow man and say, you know, listen, if you see somebody having a meltdown in the grocery store, or you know, someone's a little, you know, someone's kid is losing it, you know, somewhere, and the parents are kind of frazzled. You know, you don't need to document that. You know, you certainly wouldn't want someone to do that to you on your worst day. And so we have to resist this urge to digitally document everything, because it's just it doesn't really improve our society when we try to capitalize on other people's failings.
So John, overall, would you say that we're looking for consistency? And I'll give you an example. Say, for instance, with my Twitter account, pretty much all that I do with that is promote interviews that I do here on the radio program. If I find an interesting article or something like that, I may post that. And that basically is it. And so I said to myself some time ago when I was setting up the Twitter account that, hey, if anything actually goes awry or something one time, people, all they have to do is just look at the consistency with which I'm posting different things. I'm not going to put anything else out there personally or anything out there that's negative.
Yeah, I think there's something to that, that you want to, you know, you have sort of a record of appropriate behavior behind you in case something happens down the road. I mean, for the most part, you know, we live in a forgiving society. You know, we are a We love the underdog in America. We love a good comeback in America, and I think that you know, if you are, you know, if you consistently are kind of doing the right thing, then you know you're less likely to have something that happens to you or something that goes wrong impact you in the long term. Now, of course, there are the most, you know, the social media failings and the online failings that get the most coverage are the ones that are spectacular, you know.
Yeah.
And some of them I call them catastrophic. You know, there's no real fix if you end up with something you post online ends up with, you know, being republished, you know, thousands of times and finds its way to major media sites and, you know, goes viral. Then,
like the young woman from South Africa that you mentioned in your book.
Yeah, that was a catastrophic case. It's a famous one, Justine Sacco. She was on vacation, and she posted on Twitter, you know, going to Africa. Hope I don't get AIDS. You know, just kidding. I'm white. That was the tweet,
yeah.
And kind of call it the tweet that went around the world. I mean, she tweeted that, and she only had at the time only a few hundred followers. She's actually a public relations consultant based in New York at the time, and she only had a few hundred followers, and she was attempting to be funny. It wasn't funny, you know, but no one found it funny. I mean, she was attempting to be funny, and someone with a lot of followers, you know, that was following her saw it and decided to republish it, and it just kind of gained viral steam, and you know, hundreds of thousands of people were aware of what was aware of her tweet while she was on an airplane, kind of, you know, flying to vacation, and the story goes that she essentially lost her job, you know, while that was happening, that her company disavowed her, you know, before her plane even landed. It was a crazy situation.
Well, John, final thing I'd like for you to touch on is the importance of privacy settings, and you write that they're actually key to one's online reputation. So what's your overall advice surrounding the use of privacy settings?
I think that you know, everybody has their own, you know, level of what their comfort level is. I think it's very important to regularly check the settings, because they do change on sites like Facebook and those things and Instagram. They do. Those policies, you know, make subtle changes, and so you have to go in and regularly check, and you have to be in your own comfort level. You know, I think that it's also important as the size of your network and the number of people within your network. You know, personally, like, for example, when it comes to Facebook, for me, I only have friends on Facebook with people who I've, like, met in the flesh. And so, I mean, I have, you know, a couple hundred friends on Facebook, something like that, whereas I have, you know, 6,000 followers on Twitter and 2,000 followers on LinkedIn, something like that. I'm more comfortable, you know, giving out information about who I am and about my life and about my kids and about my quirks on Facebook to that, you know, 100 or so people who I've actually met in the flesh. You know, I think you need to make sure that your settings are such that you have a comfort level with them, and also you generally want to keep your settings private until you've acknowledged someone as your friend, you know, on whatever site it is. And a lot of times, people make those mistakes that there's public that their information is public and they don't even know it, and that can really can harm you down the road, particularly if you've done something silly. You know, you see a lot of young people have pictures of them, you know, drinking or doing other bad things, and they don't even realize that they've made those pictures public. So, you know, that next person who's coming to research them, whether it's a college recruiter or a potential employer, you know, they may go and quickly see them, you know, doing something crazy, and they don't even, and the applicant doesn't even realize that they've kind of left that door open.
Well, again, the new book from John P. David is titled How to Protect or Destroy Your Reputation Online, The Essential Guide to Avoid Digital Damage, Lock Down Your Brand, and Defend Your Business. And John, I understand that you actually write about communications and strategy on the Huffington Post, and that information usually you tweet it out?
Absolutely, yeah. I can be found on Twitter, John P. David. Also, my company is called David PR Group. So anyone who's looking to get more information on this, I'm always available to answer questions. And I've dealt with hundreds of different types of online problems, and I'm always happy to help people in any way I can.
John P. David, thanks so much.
Thank you, Hal.